Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37. Today's sermon I named Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, because we're going to talk about truth-telling and oaths and all those kind of things. So let's just read this passage, what the Lord says. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So nothing annoys me more, and say amen if you agree, nothing annoys me more in this life than hidden fees. Amen? Hidden fees. They're deceptive. They're dishonest. They're unethical. They're ungodly. So I used to be with Bell Canada. Used to be. Key word there. And when I was with them for my cell phone plan, I had a very complicated and frustrating relationship with them. Come to think about it, cell phone companies are like crazy exes, right? Not only does she keep calling you, but she can't stop lying to you either. They say it's $101 a month, but then you get your first bill and it's $250. What's going on here? Then 3 months later, it's $150 because the $101 was just a promotion. Hidden fees. It's a lie. Why do we hate hidden fees so much? Because we've been promised something that turned out to be nothing but a bold-faced lie. And that's what an oath not kept is. It's a lie. If you give an oath to somebody that you're going to do a thing and you don't do it, what happened? You lied to them. Unless, of course, you told them, hey, something came up and you had a mutual agreement that you couldn't keep your oath. But if you just say something and don't do it, you're lying. You're lying. We do this all the time, don't we? It's hypocritical speech like this that Jesus is condemning. Manipulation. Say yes or say no. Don't be in the middle. And we do this stuff all the time. We may not have hidden fees, but we certainly have hidden motives, right? We lie about who we are and what we've accomplished just so that people might like us, just so that people might esteem us more than maybe they should. But it's okay for us to bend the truth a little bit, isn't it, right? I mean, because when prices at the grocery store jump up, it's an abomination to us. But when we get too much change back from the cashier, we don't really have much to say, do we? Right? How could Pepsi go up 50 cents? Oh, she gave me an extra 20. No big deal. I'll just take that and go on my way. No, this is hypocrisy. And this is what Jesus is exposing this morning in our passage. So if you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you're saved by his grace, then the Lord says to shun empty oath-taking and to live a life that's characterized by truth and integrity, which is a word that Brian really likes, integrity. It's a good word. Yeah, it is a hard word. And basically, integrity is this: say yes or say no. That's it. Be truthful. Let's walk through this. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. So Jesus continues his exposition of the law today. And this time he tackles the issue of hypocritical, empty oath taking, which to me was a bit bizarre when I first read the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, think about it. He just finished talking about murder and adultery and divorce. Serious issues, right? But now all of a sudden he brings up issues of oaths. I don't know, maybe to me I just didn't take it very seriously or didn't think it was really a big deal. Aren't there more serious problems in our world that Jesus could talk about other than taking an oath and swearing falsely? How about alcoholism or child abuse? How about, you know, sexual assault, which is like rampant today, I guess, in Hollywood. And I suppose it always was. It's just being revealed now. But oath taking? seems a bit trivial. But swearing falsely and justifying our lies is not a trivial game, I've learned. It's very, very dangerous. And it can lead you down, it will lead you down the path of destruction. So the exact phrase he uses here, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. This phrase is not found in the Old Testament in the way he quotes it here. It's a combination of Leviticus 19:12 and Numbers 30 in verse 2. Now remember, Jesus is not teaching us a new law. He's correcting the perversion of the law of God found in the Old Testament. He's correcting the perversion of that law by the Pharisees and teachers of his day. The teachings of Jesus do not contradict the law of God in the Old Testament. He simply is teaching us the proper understanding of it. So the law of God teaches us to not bear false witness and to do what we say. In the heart and foundation of that law is what? It's truth. Tell the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And when Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king, Jesus said this. So Pilate comes to him and he says, so, are you a king? Good question. Jesus says, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Okay, so Pilate comes to him and he says, Jesus, are you a king? And Jesus kind of sidesteps the question and says, yeah, I am, but this is why I came to the world. Because of truth. To testify of truth. Something you know nothing about. And if you continue reading the passage, Pilate says, what is truth? He was staring truth right in his ever-living eyes, and he missed it. Every single problem we have in our world is because we believe lies. We believe lies. In the beginning, Eve believed a lie. Adam believed a lie. The reason we live in a fallen world is because Satan told our parents a lie, and they believed it. And not only did they believe it, but when you believe something, what happens? You act on it. Your beliefs determine your actions. As children of God who walk in light, we need to shun lies and speak with integrity and truth. Jesus says, let what you say be yes or no. Yes or no. Lying has become almost second nature to us in society. So I did some research and I tried to find the statistic of how much the average person lies. And my findings, my research was very interesting to say the least. So one website said, people tell 1.65 lies a day, which seemed a little low. One website said 1.6 lies a day. It seems low. It seems very low. Yeah. But another one says that 12% of adults admit to lying sometimes or often. Okay? Check this one out. Apparently, men lie 6 times a day to their wives, which kind of, the 1.6 thing kind of crumbles under that stat. They can't both be true. Yeah, they can't both be true. Apparently men lie 6 times a day to their wives, while women only lie 3 times a day to their husbands. So way to go, women. You're doing a good job. And I found another article about how statistics lie. And using statistics to prove the lying.
So how's that statistic truthful?
I don't know. We're all just
lying.
I guess the moral of the story is we lie. Whether we just lie, okay? That's what I got from my research of lying. I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of people were lying about their lying. Bending the truth and justifying our lying is and has always been a huge, huge problem. I love Ray Comfort when he does evangelism. He'll ask somebody, have you ever told a lie? And they'll usually, you know, if they're truthful to a degree, they'll say, yeah, I have. I've lied in my life before. And then he says, have you ever, you know, committed adultery? Most people say, no. Well, have you ever looked on a woman to lust after her? Yes. And then Or they'll say no again, and then he'll say, how can I trust you? You're a liar. We lie. That's the reality. We lie. We make oaths and promises with no intention on keeping them. And I have to confess, I do this more than I would like to admit. Probably because I'm a liar a little bit. My boss at work will tell me to fill the water display, restock the sugar, condense the pop, refill the chips, and make a bale of cardboard. And I'll say, yeah, I'll do it. And as I'm saying that, I literally have forgotten the jobs he just told me to do. I don't know how to make a bale. I don't. They've got a new baler. I don't know how to use it. But he said, make one, and I said, I'll do it. And I already know, truthfully, I have no time to do all those jobs anyways. But I say I'll do it because I don't want to tell the truth, because I don't want conflict. So I settle for an empty oath. I settle for a lie. Why is lying such a serious issue? You might, especially lying like that, like, sure, I'll make a bail and then you don't. Like, is that really a serious problem? Like, someone else will make the bail if I don't do it, you know? Is that really, like, that bad? This is why it's that bad. Because as with any other moral issue, it's serious. Not because of you. Not even because of the repercussions it might have on somebody else. I'm having two babies, like a reproduction on the brain, I guess. It's a serious issue because it's contrary to the character of God. That's why. Because God is truth. And there are certain things God can't do, right? He can't lie. It's not possible for God to lie. He always tells the truth. Jesus teaches us to live and speak truthfully, not merely to make us good moral people. It's not about appearing to be a moral person. If that's the case, you've devolved back to the religion of the Pharisees, which Jesus is actually exposing here. No, we live and speak truthfully because God is the truth. Because Jesus says, I am the truth, and he cannot lie. He says, be holy as he is holy. You know what holiness is? We think when we hear holiness, we think, act right. Holiness means to be set apart. And so when God saves you, he makes you holy by setting you apart from the ways of the world to the ways of his word. So be holy as he is holy. Be set apart as he is set apart. It's because Jesus is the truth that we live in integrity, because we're ambassadors of his kingdom for his glory. In Jesus' day, people were swearing and they were taking oaths by everything. And so this led to a religious culture where breaking an oath and lying became like almost commonplace everyday stuff. But Jesus comes on the scene again with a radical teaching. He says, no, if you're a child of God, if you know my Father, you're going to shun this type of oath, lie taking, and you're going to walk in truth and integrity. So let's see what Jesus says. But I say to you, to everyone, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. And evidently, you cannot make one hair grow or not either, in my case. We are truly not in control of anything. In the time of Jesus, the religious leaders, they've set up this system of how to take an oath. And it wasn't based on the scripture. They set up rules and regulations as to what you could swear by, how serious a certain oath was as opposed to another oath, and whether the oath you swore was binding or whether it was not. So there were all these rules. It was kind of like the Canadian tax code. Nobody really understood how it worked, except for the guys at the top. And it always benefited them anyways. For example, if you said, by the temple of God, I will pay you back. That was an oath that was not binding. You could pretty much not pay the dude back, and it was all good. But if you said, By the gold in the temple, I will pay you back. That was a binding oath. You had to keep that. So if you swore by the altar, that was okay. It wasn't really that binding. But if you swore by the gift on the altar, well, then you had to keep your word because that is serious. The gift on the altar is serious. Sounds pretty dumb, doesn't it? It's because it is. Although they would never admit it, the implication of this stupid system of rules was that in certain situations, it's okay to lie. It's okay. If you wanted to get out of something you didn't really want to do, just swear by the temple. Most people would be like, he swore by the temple anyway, so don't really expect much from him, you know, if you understood the code. This kind of hypocrisy created a culture of deception and manipulation and lies, and Jesus says, no, don't take an oath by heaven because it is God's. Don't take an oath by the earth, for it is God's, or by Jerusalem, because it is God's, or even by yourself, because you are God's. Like, you belong to God, not you're a God. Jesus appeals to the sovereignty of God because everything belongs to him. He knows the beginning from the end. Therefore, do not make these empty oaths. God knows the truth. Let what you say be yes or no. Speak simply, speak truthfully. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega. Actually, that reminds me of a joke. Should I say it? Yeah, I'll say it. How come Jesus was able to join two college fraternities? Because he's Alpha and Omega. I'll be here all day. I'll be here all day. One more. What did Eve eat at the barbecue?
Ribs.
Very good. Okay, back to serious stuff. He's exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and he's condemning these empty oath system stuff that they permitted for people to make. So Jesus is not condemning here all oath-taking, though. There's some situations in which making an oath is right and good and holy. So God himself has made oaths. I feel like I'm saying oats. Oaths. And he's given promises in the Bible. One of the most profound ones, I think, is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." By himself. So God looked around the creation and he goes, okay, I'm going to make a promise to Abraham here. And I'm going to swear, I'm going to make him a promise. I'm going to swear to keep it. By what shall I swear by? So he looked here, he looked there, and he found nothing greater than himself. So he said, I'm going to swear by myself and keep myself accountable that I will keep this promise. An obvious oath we make in churches is when we say our vows in a wedding ceremony, right? And it's good. It's good to say your vows. When I said my vows on my wedding day, I was making an oath before God and everybody present that I would stay with my wife for as long as we shall live. Okay? Death is the way out, if you will. So that's an appropriate and holy thing to do today with no-fault divorce laws and this kind of thing. It's been made kind of meaningless. We may look at the Pharisees in disgust and say, you know, you guys are hypocrites saying one oath is binding and another one is not, but guys, let's look in the mirror. Let's look in the mirror. I think the bigger problem in society is the acceptance of this behavior. But think about it. Getting divorced is big business, man. People make a lot of dough because of divorce. Lawyers and courts and can't really think of anybody else who makes money. Perhaps champagne companies. I've heard judges, ex-wives. Divorce parties are happening, so people are going to the LCBO and buying all manner of alcohol to have parties. So people make big money. And unfortunately, our society has accepted the loophole in marriage. I mean, why do prenuptial agreements exist? It's because divorce is plan B, right? So you think if plan A doesn't work, at least I have this document so that I can't get fleeced when I go for plan B. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, one of the great scandals in life today is the appalling increase in divorce and infidelity. To what is it due? It is that men have forgotten the teaching of Christ with regard to vows and oaths, in common veracity and truth and honesty in speech. How like these scribes and Pharisees we are. That was written in a book called Studies in the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to read it, I have a copy. I'll let you borrow it for sure, but please return it. You probably won't, so I'll just buy a new copy anyways. You lend a book out, it never comes back. We're all liars. We all make empty oaths, and we ensure that we have a way out just in case we don't follow through on what we have said we will do. And the religion of the Pharisees, well, it's alive and well in our society, isn't it? As children of God, though, it must not be this way among us. Jesus is not saying to not take wedding vows. He's basically saying, don't make stupid, hypocritical oaths that you know you won't keep. Don't tell your boss you're going to make a bail when you can't. Just because, you know, if I told him I couldn't, you know what he would do, right? He would teach me. And then I'd waste all that time and learning it, and then it'd be like, oh, I got more work that has to be done, and I'm behind. You know what I mean? It's just like I don't want to be inconvenienced, so I lie. And that's wrong, because God is truth. I remember when I was a kid, and all you had to do to get away with lies was what? What did you guys do to get away with lies when you were a kid? Crossed your finger behind your back, right? And when somebody said, show me your hand, you'd cross your toes or your legs. Oh, yeah. Kids are clever sinners. They are. What Jesus is teaching us is don't make silly systems that justify your dishonesty. We all do this. We shake our fists in disgust at politicians when they lie to get an office, but we don't even blink an eye when we lie to make ourselves look good. I remember when I was in school, I thought it was so hypocritical that the teachers expected us to memorize these facts and to know these things that are in the textbooks for the test when they had the answer book right in front of them. Why should I have to know this stuff in my head when you can just open a book and figure it out? I thought it was hypocritical. But I was a kid who would, I was the kid who would look off other people's tests. Right? So they're sitting there with their book, and I'm like, what a hypocrite. You know? I'm the hypocrite. I was the kid who would write the answers on my hand and have cue cards in my sleeves. You know? So when the test came, I could kind of... I always got caught, though, because I guess I wasn't... I would have made a lousy magician, I guess. It's the old Pharisaical teachings. It's okay to swear by the temple and not keep it, but not by the gold. It's okay to swear by the altar and not keep it, but not by the gifts. And as always, it becomes a matter of the heart. The born-again Christian takes oaths and promises very seriously because we serve the God of truth who does not lie, who cannot lie, who commands us to be holy as he is holy. So Jesus says then, say yes or no. Because anything more than this comes from evil. It's very interesting that Jesus tells us that anything more than a yes or a no answer comes from evil. And other translations say, evil one. Evil one. Now, remember, it was the devil who deceived Adam and Eve in the garden by speaking lies mingled with a little truth. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So Eve started out pretty good, didn't she? Let's give her a little credit here. She corrected the devil. She said, no. He didn't say that. He said we can eat anything except from that tree. Okay? Devil, that's what God said. Then the devil lied and he mixed a little truth in there. No, see, Eve, you will not die. Lie. But you'll know good and evil. Truth. You see what Satan did there? He took the command of God and with some fancy footwork, no pun intended because he had no feet, he made it seem okay to disobey. He made it seem like it was to their advantage that they might disobey. No, eat, because you'll know good and evil. And not only will you know good and evil, Eve, but you'll be like God. Don't you want to be like God? I mean, God's pretty awesome, isn't he? You walk with him every day, and he created this wonderful place for you to live, and he gives you food and fruit and vegetables, and he gave you a husband. You didn't even have to go search for one. He just gave you one. Don't you want to be like him? Well, yeah, of course. In the same way, the Pharisees, with some fancy footwork, made it okay to lie and deceive. That's what the devil did. It's the devil's religion. The issue at heart here is not so much about taking oaths, but it's wholly about truthfulness. Because Jesus came to testify to the truth. There's no need for us to take empty, ridiculous oaths in our conversations. Just say yes or no. Is your heart concerned with truthfulness? That's the question. Or can you just say a lie and it doesn't even like bother you? That's what we need to consider. It seems pretty easy, right? Just be honest. Don't make promises you can't or know you won't keep. So why do we lie so much? Why is being honest so hard? Why do so many of us make promises we don't keep? It's because, as I said, lying is convenient. In certain situations, being honest is probably one of the hardest things we can do. It's so easy to tell a little supposed lie, right, to get out of a sticky situation. Your wife says, "Do I look good in these pants?" What if she doesn't? Do you tell the truth? Or do you say, "Yeah, you look great"? One time my older brother, he shaved his head, right? And I think he owed me some money. And he shaves his head and he missed a big spot in the back. And he goes, "Am I good?" I was like, "Yeah, you're good." He wasn't good. He looked ridiculous. Yeah. It's easy for us to add a few percentage points to our grade point average on a resume, right? No one will know. No one will know. It'll help me get the job. It's easy for me to say I can bench press 300 pounds 10 times and impress everybody. It's just a small lie. I can justify it in my mind. Just don't go to the gym with me on chest day. Because then you'll see I only bench like, 140. two forty-fives, that's 90 plus 45. So not even 140. 135. So I did lie. But it wasn't really a lie because I didn't know, and I corrected myself. So I guess it's a lie I repented of. But when you find out I can't bench 300 pounds, how are you going to react to my other claims? Like, if I lie about a small thing like how much I bench press, can you really trust me on big things? I mean, I know some people that lie about things that are just there's no reason to lie about it. Like, it's okay if you didn't, beat the video game, I don't care. One guy actually lied to me about that. Your reputation becomes tainted if you lie about trivial, dumb things. All these things come from evil, from pride, from jealousy, from vanity. Let your speech be yes or no. And look at what James says. In James 5:12, same teaching of the Lord Jesus. He basically repeats it. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes But your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Isn't that something? So you may not fall under judgment. At the end of the day, it's a matter of the heart. Righteousness, integrity has to first become an internal reality in you, because God is in you, before it becomes an external way of life. If you're deceitful and dishonest in your heart, Jesus says what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And it will manifest in deceitful and dishonest actions and words. Jesus was and is speaking to a human race that looks for any way to get what their sinful flesh desires. We talked about this a bit last week. The Pharisees came up with these hypocritical systems of oath-taking that attempted to justify their wicked lies. If a man impregnates a woman and leaves her, society says he's a deadbeat guy. He's a deadbeat dad. But if a woman kills her baby in the womb, society says, well, she's pro-choice. Well, guess what? Leaving your children is wrong, and killing your baby is wrong. How about we keep everyone accountable? Right? Keep them all accountable. Not just one. If a woman is promiscuous, she gets looks of disdain, right? I'm not going to use the word. But if a man behaves the same way, well, what do we say? He's the man. Yeah, he's awesome. He gets all the way. No, she is wrong, and he is wrong. If we call the promiscuous woman a Bible word like whore, then we ought to call the promiscuous man a Bible word like whoremonger. Right? They're both sinning. They both ought to be held accountable. He's not the man. He's not. He's controlled by his lust. He's not the man. So tonight, let's check ourselves. Is there hypocrisy in us? Are we making promises we know we can't keep? Are we justifying sin with lies, regardless if you think they're small or big? God doesn't really have, like, he's not sitting in heaven with a scale going, well, that was a small lie. Oh, but that was a big lie. That's not how it works. Truth is truth. The gospel of the death and resurrection of Jesus is founded on truth. Imagine if the disciples thought, let's just exaggerate a little bit about this resurrection. Right, nobody's going to know. Let's just steal the body and hide it, and then we'll exaggerate it a bit. That would be cataclysmic. No, it was founded on truth. Jesus died and rose again. It's true. And if it's not true, then we have a history of these disciples who supposedly concocted this thing, who went to their deaths. Listen, people die all the time, right, for their religious beliefs, don't they? But people do not die for what they know is not true. You can die being deceived. But if you know you came together with 11 men and you made this thing up, you will not go to your grave to defend it. It's just not worth it. If you're struggling with lying, which I think everyone does to a degree, take it to Jesus. Be honest with him. Ask him to teach you how to walk in integrity. I love how Justin wrote that song. So I can be a better man. So I can be a better man. Teach him so that you can be a better man or woman. Shun the emptiness of the promises and the oaths and the lies and walk in the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning together. Let me just pray and finish, and then we'll talk about that. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning that we can gather together to hear your word and to understand as best we can what you're trying to tell us. By your Spirit, I pray that you would reveal to us, Lord Jesus, what it is specifically we have to do as individuals. Where expose our hearts, dig deep in us, Lord, and reveal where we might be maybe regressing back to the religion of the devil and in the way we speak. Help us to speak with integrity and truth for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so...